Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast. We are at the midway point of the fantasy regular season for those who play 14 weeks. So this episode will be a reevaluation of the fantasy football landscape with various thoughts at each position by going through our rest of season rankings, which can be found on wolfsports.com every Tuesday. At quarterback, I believe I basically outlined this before, where there is a clear top four consisting of Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Jaden Daniels. But beyond that, it's been a lot of underperforming offenses. One of the few exceptions is Jared Goff with the Lions, who we've had as a QB1 all season, but have now boosted a couple of spots into the top 10. The lone concern with him is he doesn't have the easiest schedule, but that might not matter based on how the Lions have performed so far, including Goff himself, who has been as accurate as ever, and it's been good to see him get, not that it matters, but recognition from the media for how he's played. Goff should be rostered in all leagues as an excellent insurance policy because, again, the position has struggled so much. The other guy I've mentioned in previous weeks is Anthony Richardson. He, again, didn't have a great game last week from a real-life or fantasy perspective, but it was encouraging that he had a season-high 14 carries, and I'm optimistic the return of Jonathan Taylor, hopefully as soon as this week, will boost him and the entire offense. But as long as he's on the field, he has plenty of upside and should be held onto and is a potential trade target. Two other options to mention at quarterback that might be available on the waiver wire are Aaron Rodgers and Bo Nix. For Rodgers, we shouldn't overreact to a disappointing loss against the Steelers on Sunday night. Pittsburgh has an elite defense, and it was the first game with Davante Adams in the lineup, and Rodgers continues to look sharp in terms of his accuracy and arm talent, so I'd want to roster him as a high-end QB2. And for Nix, his rushing upside has been very exciting, something the Broncos themselves didn't quite think they were getting from him, with Sean Payton saying he's faster than they thought, but the production isn't a huge surprise. We compared him to Jalen Hurts coming out, and I'll continue to reiterate that now is the time to invest in Nix before the Broncos are able to add pieces around him offensively, and the rushing ability keeps him in play as a redraft streamer, including this week in a great matchup versus the Panthers. For the running backs, I touched on it last week, mentioning Alvin Kamara, someone to potentially trade if you could get a big return. And there are definitely some RB1 options that are currently undervalued to consider trading for. The biggest one is Jonathan Taylor. His absence over the past few weeks has been frustrating, but in the long run, it should be a great thing for his outlook to get healthy before his return. We've seen that do wonders for Joe Mixon, who missed three games and has since gone for 25-plus fantasy points in each of the past 2 weeks while regaining his explosiveness. So it sounds like Taylor could return for a matchup against the Texans this week. But either way, we have him as a top three rest of season option behind only Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. So definitely someone to hold on to or check in terms of his price if you're seeking a high-end RB1 for the second half of the season. Mixon is another option that might be slightly undervalued. We have him as our RB7, and the same is true for Kenneth Walker III, another guy I mentioned last week. We have him as the RB8, but a couple of spots above them, Devon Achane could be ready to explode with Tua Tagovailoa back in the lineup. He's been held in check with single-digit fantasy points in each of the past 4 games, but the production in the passing game has fallen off since losing Tua, and the hope is that he will get back to what he did across the first 2 weeks when he had 7 receptions and 69-plus yards in each game. Achane has also been held out of the end zone since week 2 with Tua out, but he has as much upside as anyone, and the opportunity to buy low will probably close, assuming Tua is back this weekend. So keep rolling with him as a high-ceiling RB1. And then Breece Hall has cracked the top 10 after being treated as a workhorse once again on Sunday night. There was more of a split with Robert Saleh as head coach, with Braylon Allen seeing quite a bit of work. But Hall has been the guy over the past 2 weeks, and I take him over Kamara the rest of the way. Beyond that, I've mentioned much of this in previous weeks for the rookie trio of Tyrann Tracy Jr., Bucky Irving, and Braylon Allen. For Allen, the standalone value isn't quite there right now, with Hall treated as a workhorse, but he has definite RB1 potential in the event of an injury, so he should remain rostered. For Irving, the Bucks are going with a three-headed backfield, as Sean Tucker continues to impress, but he should be leaned on more as a receiver, with Chris Godwin unfortunately done for the season. So all three of Rashad White, Irving, and Tucker should see a boost the rest of the way. And Tracy wasn't featured against the Eagles last week, but he drew the start with Devin Singletary back, and I thought he again looked good on his touches. And there's no reason for the Giants, now at 2-5, to not feature the rookie. So he remains undervalued and under-rostered in redraft leagues, and the same could be said for dynasty formats. And the final guy I'll mention at running back, higher value as a top 20 option, so a higher price to potentially acquire in a trade, but I wouldn't give up on Travis Etienne. Tank Bigsby has looked really good for the Jags, but the upside for Etienne is worth taking a gamble on as a big play, RB2, that could be had at a discount. At wide receiver, the story here is unfortunately the injuries to Chris Godwin and Brandon Ayuk, so opportunities will be up for grabs for the Bucs and 49ers. For San Francisco, the picture should be a little clearer, especially when Debo Samuel is back, although it seems he might miss time with the pneumonia that knocked him out last week. But Juwan Jennings, Ricky Purcell, and Jacob Cowan could be the top three wideouts. The Niners hope to have Jennings back this week after missing last week with a hip injury. But those three should be the top guys, and Jennings in particular should now be added in all leagues. The last time he was featured due to injuries, he went for 175 yards and 3 touchdowns. So he makes the top 24 this week, assuming Debo is out, and should be a strong flex the rest of the way based on his chemistry with Brock Purdy. And Purcell will probably get a lot of buzz this week, and he can definitely be productive. The Niners drafted him in the first round, but I would say don't sleep on Cowing. He showed some downfield potential last week and has the skill set to get some design touches in Kyle Shanahan's offense. So in deeper leagues and dynasty formats, Cowing's someone to at least keep in mind. And the Bucs, I don't think, have the same kind of upside. You can't replace a player like Chris Godwin, but Jalen McMillan should step up and definitely has a path to flex value. But as stated, I think we'll see things run through the running backs with a three-headed backfield, and Mike Evans will get a boost. Hopefully won't miss too much time with the hamstring injury. And if Evans is out this week, Sterling Shepard should have some flex appeal in a game versus Atlanta that was a shootout in the first meeting. Now the high-end guys in the top 12, similar to running back, that you might be able to get at a slight discount. And I understand that trading for these guys could prove very difficult, but just stuff to keep in mind for the rest of the season. First, we still have Malik Nabers as a top 5 option. The loss of Andrew Thomas at left tackle is huge, and the Giants have had a history of underperforming significantly when Thomas is out on the offensive line. But this is about betting on the talent. Nabers is already a superstar, and I would assume Brian Daboll will find ways to get him the ball after a quiet game against the Eagles. So after 2 weeks out and then the subpar performance, Nabers could potentially be had at a discount if he's rostered by someone that's hit a rough stretch over the past 3 weeks. Similar thinking for Davante Adams. I didn't expect him to have a big game against the Steelers in a tough matchup in his first week with the Jets, but he's been out of action and then had the quiet game with 30 yards on Sunday night. So a frustrated owner could be looking to move Adams, and it's worth checking in on the price as someone we have as our overall wide receiver 8 the rest of the way. And then right behind him is Devontae Smith. I highlighted him last week, and he had a disappointing showing, with the Eagles mostly keeping the ball on the ground, aside from A.J. Brown. So I think definitely a buy low window for Smith, and I think he'll have a big game against the Bengals on Sunday. Also a buy low opportunity for Jameson Williams due to the 2-game suspension, and he's another guy that was very quiet in Week 7. But Williams remains a big part of Detroit's offense, and especially for those looking good for a fantasy playoff spot, he's someone I'd like to acquire in a trade. I won't get too deep into Romeo Doubs as someone we continually mention, but he had 8 receptions on 10 targets for 94 yards last week, which followed up 2 scores a couple of weeks ago. So he's a top waiver claim for us and should already be rostered. And the final thing I'll mention here, just a general big picture thought, is that it's better to rely on wide receivers and pass catchers in better offenses with better quarterback play. Deontay Johnson's the latest example. He was in a blow-up spot versus the Commanders last week and was limited to, I think, 22 yards. So when in doubt, if you have a tiebreaker between multiple players, I'd lean towards the better offense for the most part. And the hope for Johnson is that he's traded to a team, perhaps achieves, with Devontae Adams and Amari Cooper off the board and Romeo Doubs looking like he's a big part of what the Packers are doing. So Johnson will face Pat Surtain this week and should be avoided. And guys like him, Calvin Ridley and Chris Olave with Derek Carr out, they're more in the volatile flex range, even in really good matchups. So that's something to keep in mind. At tight end, the buy low window for David Njoku is probably shut. Cleveland's offense will be in better hands, whether it's Dorian Thompson-Robinson or Jameis Winston under center. Both guys should target Njoku at a high level, so he's a top 5 rest of season option. But the guy that's still attainable and could make his debut this week is TJ Hockenson. guys could typically be slow in their return from serious injuries, but I think Minnesota slow playing his return could have Hockenson close to his usual self, and we have him as a top 10 rest of season option based on the floor he's shown in Kevin O'Connell's offense. So that will conclude this episode. As always, you can find our full rankings on wolfsports.com. And if you're a Fantasy Consigliere member, feel free to reach out with any questions you might have. Until next time, I'm Dylan Chapin, and this was the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast.